Thank you, Tony.
And thanks for the opportunity to address you today. Just a tiny bit of introduction. As Tony mentioned, I'm an independent contractor working in natural resource management issues generally here in Wellington, New Zealand. I was heavily involved in the setting up of our emissions trading scheme in the policy development, and I led the policy team for a significant period taking our ETS legislation through Parliament. So I still do some work on climate change. I remain involved in the issues. So I've probably got a reasonable understanding of what's happening here. I understand there's someone will push the button on some slides, so if we could just get into it quickly. The first slide, I've just got four slides I want to run through with you this afternoon. The first one's just a tiny bit of our legislative history. And we had multiple attempts. There's quite a lot of parallels to Australia in a way, and I do follow the Australian debate. We had multiple attempts at getting a price on carbon implemented. The first serious crack at that was in 1995, and we didn't get a price on carbon through our parliament until 2008. And there's a number of things came together at that point. There was a Labor-led government that had positioned themselves around sustainability. The Kyoto Protocol was coming up that unless we address some particular issues pertaining to forestry, had a major bill for New Zealand. And things just came together, but it was highly controversial at the time. And that was about the last significant act of that government. And there was a change of government, and the ETS was prominent in the campaign. And the national government, the new national government, which is the equivalent of your Liberal Party, they retained the ETS, and they retained some key features of the ETS, but they did soften it in some important ways. And the two ways in which they softened it essentially were around allocation, and at the time Australia had done some work around the carbon pollution reduction scheme, picked up many of the aspects of the Australian allocation model, and implemented some price controls. But the key features that they retained, all sectors, all gases, obviously agricultural gases are really important for New Zealand, a gradual entry of sectors into the ETS, and open access to international carbon markets, which should mean, so long as the price is beneath the price control, that the price in New Zealand is driven by the international price. If we move to the next slide, where are we up to? Well, it's been running for nearly 4 years in forestry and nearly 18 months in the energy sector, and that includes liquid fossil fuels or transport, also includes industrial process emissions. There was a formal review required by legislation that has been carried out and that has reported the reports public. There are transitional provisions, the so-called transitional provisions around the price cap, and a two-for-one deal where emitters in the energy sectors need to give one unit per 2 tonnes of carbon that they emit. Therefore, that cuts the effective price to no more than $12.50 New Zealand dollars. There are some sectors that have yet to enter but are legislated to enter. And the most important one of those is agriculture. The year 2015 is the relevant year there. If we move to the next slide, how has it performed? Well, the first thing is, has it been implemented well? Are there major problems in either monitoring or companies not getting units that they should get by law? No major issues at all in that regard. So in terms of implementation, it's gone really well, certainly as well as could be expected. And the price has been driven by the sorts of things we would expect the price to be driven by, primarily international markets. And as you'll know, of course, carbon prices have dropped internationally, and the price domestically has dropped internationally. That's exactly what you'd expect. The reality there is that companies with obligations have tended to use the international markets as opposed to using domestic carbon markets, so the domestic volumes have been pretty low. There have been changes in behaviour and significant reductions in emissions, especially in forestry, and that's exactly what we would expect. That's where we believed our so-called low-hanging fruit to be, and that's what we've seen. There have been, I've put on the slide, there have been relatively little emission reductions elsewhere, and that's a fair statement, but there haven't been zero. There have been some emission reductions, and there have been some in sectors such as agriculture, even though they haven't entered. And the expectation that a carbon price will be coming along, there has been some behavioural change that has been generated. I think the final bullet on that slide is quite significant for an Australian audience. At the time I mentioned, it was really controversial. It was the most controversial thing that New Zealand had passed for a number of years. Now it's accepted. Okay, there's a debate about what the price should be, but I was speaking to the head of Business New Zealand this week, and that's the largest business lobby group there is in the country. And he I asked him directly, will you be happy to be quoted? And he said, yes, he would be. He said, the issue was not whether New Zealand should have a price on carbon. The issue is, what should that price be? How hard should it price? So the debate has moved on. I'm not arguing at all that everyone has agreed that it's wonderful and all the rest of it. What I am saying is that the heat has gone out of the debate in a very significant way. And I think that's the passage of time, the passage of people seeing the ETS in operation, that it's maybe not as complicated as they first thought it might be, that it can be worked, that firms haven't gone broke. Yes, it's changed behaviour, and some people are happy and some people are less happy, but the world carries on. The economy can live with an ETS. If we move to the final slide that I've got there, where to from here? And obviously there's a little bit of a speculative element in here, but the review of the ETS, which I mentioned, it didn't recommend any major design changes, but it did recommend changes to the design, and that's what you'd expect. The second bullet point there is a little bit of speculation, but I think it's probably a fair comment, that our policy will evolve, but it's unlikely to radically change over the next few years. And the key influences will absolutely be the international environment, the UN, what came out of Durban, whatever comes to follow. Very definitely progress in Australia, and also where international carbon markets are evolving too. And that's clearly those are linked. The issue that will continue to be live for New Zealand is the nature of bringing agriculture into the ETS. Many in the agricultural sector aren't comfortable with it, and while I say the heat's gone out of the debate, it has, but there still is a debate, and it's not entirely clear when and if, if it does come in, how it will be brought in into the ETS. I would expect some slightly more specific changes to forestry rules and also rules around the nature of the links to carbon markets, particularly as Australia evolves with its carbon policy. All right, if we flick to the next slide, which is just labelled questions. I pulled that off the website. I couldn't resist throwing it on there. Welcome questions and discussion.